Well, I sure am glad to be with you tonight. I just get excited every time that we can be together and study from God's Word and to worship Him and to sing these songs. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I enjoy singing songs on the... Well, I tell people it's kind of like singing songs on a teleprompter. I feel kind of presidential when we do that, and I just think it was just wonderful. You got the song lady here and singing here is just absolutely fantastic. For those of you who might be here for the first time during our brief series of gospel meetings, we are, as Brother Josh said, studying from the book of Ecclesiastes. Because when we begin to realize what it is that the book of Ecclesiastes is about, we soon begin to realize also that what Solomon is saying is the things that you see upon this earth, the things that you experience upon this earth, these things are like grasping the wind. Vanity and vexation of spirit is how the old King James Version expresses that. And really what he's saying, it isn't real, not as we perceive it being real. And so when I began to study the book of Ecclesiastes, I started realizing that really what Solomon is telling us here is that everything that we seem to place a great deal of trust in, and kind of focus upon while we're here upon this earth is really merely an illusion. And this has kind of been the theme of our study, how that various things that we look at and that we experience upon this earth, they're not what they seem. They are really an illusion. And we're going to continue that thought this evening by noticing something that Solomon records in the seventh chapter. In chapter 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to read the first seven verses. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It may vary just a little in wording from what you're reading, but the meaning is certainly the same. He says in chapter 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. Now, Solomon began in the book to record in basically a journal his search for the meaning of life, his search for what is important. And we've already talked a little bit about the things that Solomon involved himself in late in his life. But what Solomon is doing, I believe, in the book of Ecclesiastes is recording to us his search for the value and the meaning of life. You remember back in chapter 1, he begins to examine life under the sun, verse 13. And I set my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. Then he says this in verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And so what Solomon does in the conclusion of the book is he points out that after his search, after he was able to examine all that the world has to offer, his conclusion is that we are to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. But now what Solomon says in the text that we read, in chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, Solomon says something there that really challenges us. It challenges the reader because he says something that many of us, if not all of us, tend to want to dispute. Notice now, Solomon says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. I believe that the majority of people would take issue with that. The majority of people are going to say, oh no, I believe it's better to go to a place of happiness and joy than to go to a place of intense sadness. I believe that most everybody would rather go to a party. Most everybody would rather go to a ball game. Most everybody would rather go to a social gathering than to spend any time in a funeral home. But now what he's saying is that we've got that all reversed. When we reverse that, we're living the life of an illusion. It is just folly. You know, it's like Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When he says, you know, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then what we are to do is to eat, drink, because tomorrow we're going to die. But what Paul does is conclude chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, with pointing out that that is folly. There is more to life than simply what we eat and what we drink and then we die. He said that we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so when we begin to calculate these and we begin to figure these things out, then we can better understand Solomon's conclusion. And Solomon's conclusion is that life is indeed an illusion. That we need to be seeking God and obeying Him, for this is the whole of man. Life is an illusion. And what I mean by that, and what I believe Solomon means by that, is this life deceives us into believing promises that it cannot deliver. Life gives us promises that it cannot fulfill. It deceives us into thinking that everything is going to just continue on like this, that we can just live our life with happiness and folly and festivities, and it's just simply not going to end. It sort of reminds me of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 and verse 19. I've got many things laid up for many years. So I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what God said to him in verse 20? But you fool, this night your soul is required of you. God stepped in and intervened. But now what could have happened to have caused this man to look at things differently? He was living a life that is full of illusion. It wasn't real. He didn't have many years laid up. He didn't have many more opportunities. He died that very night. So what we need to do is don't be deceived into thinking that somehow it's always going to continue on just like it is. This is an illusion. It makes us see things that aren't there. I'm young, I'm healthy, got things going my way, everything is going well in my life, I don't have anything to worry about, I've got many years laid up, I've got many things I can do for all these many years that are out before me. That is a deception. That is an illusion. It makes us see things that aren't there, just like some of these illusions. Which way is that car going? You know, we look at things like that and, you know, we think we see something that really isn't there. Now, it is an illusion. It's much like the illusion of this. What, is there a pyramid on top or is there a hole in this pier or in this column? You see, this is what life is doing. It's presenting something to us and it convinces us this is the way that it is. But in fact, it is not that way. It's something altogether different. It's kind of like sleight of hand. I like to do a little amateur magic with my grandchildren, making coins disappear. And really, all I'm doing is just a sleight of hand. I get them looking in one direction, and I'm doing something else. And this is the way the world is. It's causing us to look at something that isn't there. It's causing us to conclude something is real when it isn't. It's causing us to confuse some things. We don't know which tower is leaning more than the other. Or are they the same? Is it an optical illusion? This is the way that life is. Solomon is telling us in our text that this is just an illusion. People want to live just simply having a good time. They just want to laugh their way through life. But that's just an illusion. You know, I hear people say, hey, J.R., you know, why be so serious? Why don't you just lighten up? Man, let's just have a good time. You're talking about all of these morbid things, you know. And this is one of the reasons why young people, you know, kind of say that I don't like going to church. I don't like to hear about judgment. And I don't like to hear about Jesus coming back and this world being destroyed. And I certainly don't want to hear about heaven and hell and death and dying. So let's just lighten up. Let's just don't be so serious. This is the way that people want to live their life, but this is an illusion. Solomon is telling us in the text that we read this evening that it's more important to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. But I tell you something, we deny that. Do we not? I believe that we do. Let's just have some fun. I've got to tell you something. I believe that there is a good number of parents who spend more to entertain their children than they do to educate them. They want them to have fun. They want to present them with every game, with every gimmick, with every opportunity to have fun, fun, fun. This seems to be what's driving people. Let's just live it up. We have become an entertainment-mad society. And what we're doing is denying reality. We're wanting to laugh our way through life, and that's not real. It is just an illusion. We cannot be functioning that way. You know, parents present their children with every kind of game, as we pointed out a moment ago, and it starts very young. And you know, I even hear some parents say, I tell you what, now, you know, I got Johnny all of these Xboxes and these Wii games, and I tell you what, he's very, very proficient on the computer, and I you know what? That's not going to help him a bit in this world. That's not going to prepare him for life. It's not going to prepare him for the next life. It's not going to prepare him to be a man. Because a lot of children that start out this way, by the time they reach their early 20s, they're still doing the same thing. Because that's what they've learned. And life to them is a mere game. But Solomon is reminding us that he tried all the games, all the gimmicks, all the fun that was available to him while he lived upon this earth. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. Solomon did. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon says that. But he said, but surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? I've tried all of this, Solomon said. Well, Solomon, what did you learn from that? Well, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all, for God will bring every work into what? Into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And what Solomon did is he turned his eyes away from pursuing pleasure to pursuing God. And this is something that many people want to dispute. But an illusion that people live is that life consists of just simply having a good time. The life of constant laughter, ladies and gentlemen, is grasping for the wind. Let's look at the portion of that text again. He said, sorrow is better than laughter. Really? Really, God? This is really the truth? Sorrow is better than laughter? For by a sad countenance the heart is made better? Really, God? You expect me to believe that? The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning? For sure? That's how God wants me to view life? But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth? For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. He said, this also is vanity. And it's like I said, most of us want to argue with what he says in verse 2, that it's better to go to the house of mourning. But you know, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, tears, pain, and hurt, and disappointment, and unhappiness, these things are able to help our spiritual eye to focus and to put life in its perspective. Because when we go to the house of mourning, we come face to face with our own mortality. Yes, there are many pleasurable things to do upon this earth. There are many games that we can participate in. There are many exciting things that we can do. There are many things that we can do that stimulate us. Even sin is fun. I would be lying to you if I told you from this pulpit tonight that if you engage in sinful activities, you're really not having any fun, because someone that's involved in that knows that there is pleasure in sin. The Hebrew writer talks about this in Hebrews 11:25, and he talks about the passing pleasures of sin. Yeah, sin has pleasure, but he says that they don't, that pleasure doesn't last. He said it is for a season, it's passing. It's what? It's temporary. And what did Paul say about the things that are seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16? What did he say about those things that are seen? He says they're temporary. And John points out in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, he says the world is passing away and the lust with it. These things are temporary. There's more to life than just simply playing our way through life. Pleasure and fun, I got to just tell you, my friends, it often shields one from the reality of death. That's what it does. It shields us from coming face to face with our own mortality. Oh, I recognize that sadness is certainly not stimulating, but it's real. Death is not something that causes us to be exhilarated, but you know what? It's real. Sadness and grief, you know what they are accomplishing? They're nudging us. They're prodding us toward God. And that's just a fact. Remember what he said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 11 about the words of the wise? He said, you know, they're like goads. They're like prods. And what did he say about the words of a scholar? He says, they're like nails. They hold things together. You know, I got to tell you, these things that we often want to avoid, and we don't want to talk about, and we don't want to think about, and we don't want to participate in, they're used by God to nudge us to Him. Hear the conclusion, Solomon said. I've tried all of these things. And then I realized that all of the things that I was, they're nudging me, these sad things are nudging me toward God. That's the reality of life. Oh, I know it's not stimulating. I know it doesn't produce a rush. You ever notice how people are wanting to do things that are dangerous? And people are wanting to do things that, that there's a risk calculated into that activity? And you ask them, why do they do such things as that? Why do you want to skydive? You know, why does somebody want to jump out of an airplane? And you just think about, well, why? You talk to somebody that jumps out, JR, you just get such a rush. It's so exhilarating. It's so stimulating. Yeah. I mean, that's why they do that. Or a bungee jump. Why in the world you want to tie a big rubber band to your ankle and jump off a bridge? Well, man, you just don't know that feeling. Why? You're just free. And it's stimulating. That's what people want. People want to be stimulated. They parasail, you know, because they want to feel the rush. They want to feel the wind in their face. And they want to feel all of the excitement about that. And people get involved in off-road vehicles for the same reason. These things are stimulating. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're teaching you to deny reality. They're shielding you from reality that you're one day going to die and you're going to stand before God in judgment. And to keep you from thinking about that, there are so many stimulating things that are available for you to do. And, you know, you wonder why. You wonder why a lot of congregations are just simply old and gray and there's not young people there, because they have bought into the fact, to the idea that life is simply to be lived with fun, thrills, and frolic. And they've just simply become anesthetized to the reality of life, that I am mortal. And one day that I'm going to die and I'm going to stand before God in judgment. But Solomon is telling us, ladies and gentlemen, he's telling us that if you truly want to live, then you need to face your own mortality. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Because that tells us that we have an impending death. Like the songwriter said, you're not really going to live until you realize you're about to die. And that's a fact. But Solomon is telling us, listen, this is what I have experienced. Well, somebody said, J.R., was Solomon a pessimist? Was Solomon a fatalist? Did Solomon just go around with a dour and sad sorry look on his face. No. This is the same man who wrote in Proverbs 17 and verse 22 that a merry heart does good like medicine. He understood that there was a place for that. But what he's telling us is you better pay tribute to grief. You better pay tribute to tears because that's the reality of life. I got to tell you, I'd be one of the first to tell you, there's nothing fun about sickness. Someone developed terminal cancer and you see their mortal body wasting away. There's nothing stimulating about that. But that's real life. Don't deny that and don't avoid that. Better, Solomon said, to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. You know, some loved one gets sick. Someone in the congregation develops terminal cancer and they're in the hospital. Their names are announced that they're sick. And you know what we'll often do? We'll avoid going to the hospital. We'll avoid holding the bony hand of a cancer patient. We'll avoid going into an intensive care room with all of the tubes that are placed in that body. We'll just avoid. And you know what we'll do? We'll justify. Oh, I tell you what, I just want to remember her the way that she was, alive and vibrant and vivacious. No, don't do that. Go to the hospital. Take your children to the hospital. Let them see, let them experience, because this is reality. Everything else is an illusion. Oh, I don't like. Somebody said, I don't like going to the funeral homes. Oh, I don't like. I just get so, you know, my blood pressure rises and I just don't like going to the funeral homes. And there are some people who won't even go to a funeral or a funeral home when it's a loved one. Why? Well, I just want to remember the way he was when he was alive. And I just want to remember how he was at church. I don't want to see a lifeless body in a casket that's made up. I don't want to see that. Go see it. Take the children. This is reality. This is what they need to grow up understanding. This is the end of all men. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, a fantastic chapter in the Bible, we read about all of the longevity of those people who lived before the flood. We read about how old this one was when he died and how old this one lived to be. We look at Methuselah and we marvel. 969 years old. Oh my. The oldest living man in the Bible. But do you know what the common denominator is? Three little words follow each one of these men. God didn't tell us those men lived to be that age so that we could marvel at their longevity. What God wants us to see is it doesn't matter how old he lived, and he died. This is the reality of life. And when we shield ourselves and we shield our children from that, we're living a mere illusion. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what's not real. And what's not real is the philosophy that so many people have. Don't worry. Just be happy. You know, the people wanting to live, that's not real. That's not real at all. And some decide that life is just simply to be lived with gusto. It's just to be lived having a party. Let's party. You know, every night's Friday night. And so this is the way that some people want to live. Some people decide that this is what life is all about. But it's not. What these are doing is driving you away from God. This is not real. Real life ends in death. And death is not the end of our existence. Then we shall stand before God. And God will bring into judgment everything that we've, every secret thing will be brought into judgment. But what the world is doing is trying to help you drift away from God. And I tell you what we can do. We can turn on the television set and we can see all of the latest comedy that's available there. We can live as though Comedy Central is the real life. But I'm going to tell you, every one of these men one day will die just like you and I, and every one of these men shall stand before God and give an account. That's real. the comedy routines and all of the fun and laughter, and all of us enjoy life by doing those things. This isn't real. And this is why Solomon says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. All it does is drive us away from God. This is not the meaning of life. This is not real. You know, the lottery. You know, the lottery advertising. Fun is good. And how many of us buy into that? Fun is good. It is. But it is a mere illusion. If you only live for fun and you only live for the good times, let me tell you, my friends, you're going to be unprepared to die. If you view life as just simply a time to live it up and to laugh your way through life, you will not be prepared to die. And I'm going to tell you something, die you will. Because one day the grim reaper will come knocking on your door. It says the book of Numbers reminds us in chapter 16 and verse 29, death is something that is common to all men. It's what we all have in common. It makes no difference what our socioeconomic standing is. It makes no difference the color of our skin. It makes no difference the gender that we happen to be. Death is that which makes us all have, it's what we all have in common. Every single one of us. And that's why Solomon said in chapter 8 and verse 8, that no one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. That is reality. That's why Solomon said it's better for you to spend a little bit of time in the house of mourning. Because just like what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 16, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he said that the rich man died. I want you to just think about that. Here is a man who was able, with his wherewithal, to live whatever life that he wanted to live, perhaps like Solomon. He was able to buy what he wanted to buy. He was able to do what he wanted to do. He was able to play whatever he wanted to play. He was able to involve himself in whatever game he wanted to involve himself in. He could spend his time in mirth and laughter. But the Bible says the rich man died, verse 22 of Luke 16. The rich man died. That's the reality of it. But then he is able to give us a glimpse into eternity. The rich man died, and being in torment, the Bible said. You see, now he comes face to face with reality. And you read on in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and you find out. You find out that after he died, and this is too late, now he begins to see the reality of life. Oh, Abraham, would you send Lazarus to my father's house? For I have five brothers. And you know what those brothers are doing? They're living exactly like he was living, denying the fact that they're too going to die. Send him to my brothers. I have five brothers. Let me testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. You see, they were denying reality. They were living an illusion. This is why Solomon says, hey, spend some time down at the funeral home. Go down here to the nursing home. You know, I was reading something. I was reading something about the singer, Glenn Campbell. I don't know many of us, some of you my age, perhaps even a little younger, going to recognize the name. He was a singer, came from Arkansas. A lot of people didn't realize it. Glenn Campbell had a past of some way or another in the Church of Christ, whether he had been a member or perhaps it was his parents that were members. But he was familiar with the Lord's church to one degree or another. There was a song that Glenn Campbell sang called Rhinestone Cowboy. And there was a line in that song that I believe described Glenn Campbell's life and describes the life of a lot of people. He said, there's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon. Now, Brother Campbell, what did it get? What did it provide you? There's a nursing home right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And one of the residents in that nursing home that doesn't even know hardly now who he is or what it means to be a rhinestone cowboy is Glenn Campbell. And now what he has is somebody that's helping him change his adult diaper and look after him and feed him anything that he's going to eat and lead him to his bedroom. That's the reality of life. We want to shield ourselves from that. We don't want to spend any time in those homes. We don't want to spend any time in the nursing homes. We don't want to spend any time in the funeral homes. We don't want to spend time at the hospital. But go, ladies and gentlemen, Solomon said that it's better for you to do that. Because what that does is teach you your own mortality. This awakens within every one of us the reality that we too are going to die. If we deny that and if we shield ourselves from that, we're living the life of an illusion. Ah, people said, let's party. Let's just have a party. But I'm going to tell you, one day the party ends. Yeah, like another songwriter. Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say all good things must end. And indeed, they must. But the wise men said many centuries ago, some words that we can hang our lives upon, some scholarly words that prod us toward God if we are wise enough to listen. Better to go to the house of mourning. And we are foolish people if we deny that. Ah, this is why Solomon said, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, but no. And for all of these, God will bring you into judgment, for childhood and youth are vanity. You know what's real? I'm telling you what's real. What's real is what you experience at the graveyards and the funeral. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you there's nothing stimulating about that. I'm not trying to, in any way, shape, manner, or form, glamorize or glorify death. As a matter of fact, I want you to look at death as the way the Scriptures describes it. Rider of the pale horse. King of terrors. The enemy of Christ. But however we describe death, that's the reality of our life. Solomon says, you're going to die. One of these days, you're going to stand before God in judgment. That's why. That's why the conclusion is simple. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Well, this is the whole duty of man. We're going to one day stand before God in judgment. If we deny that, I tell you what. If we want to live with just simply a laugh track mentality, we're buying into the deception that Hollywood intends for us to buy into. Well, what I've been doing in each lesson, for those of you who may be here for the first time, I'm closing out the lesson by pointing out that things that we see upon this earth are not real, they're manufactured, including the beauty that we see in Hollywood. We look at all of the perfect people, but all of the perfect people that we look at are like the things that we observe upon this earth. They are not real. They are a mere illusion. Take away the lighting. Take away the hairdressers. Take away the makeup artist. Take away the camera angles and the camera shots. And then you're able to see the real person behind the illusion. And this is what Solomon is trying to get us to do. He's trying to get us to look at things as they really are. Get away from the camera angles. Get away from the camera shots. Get away from the illusionary practices of this world. And cut through all of that and see the reality of life. We better get serious about this. The reality of life, what I've tried to talk to you about this evening, is summed up by the Hebrew writer In Hebrews 9, in verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm going to tell you what that says. You can substitute and do absolutely no harm and injustice to the Word of God, your name, with the word man. It is appointed unto J.R. to die, and after this, the judgment. And that can be said of every one of us. Now, sometimes we want to live the life of an illusion and pretend that that's not going to happen. But you spend a little time in the nursing home, and you spend a little time in the hospitals and the funeral home, you'll begin to realize, yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Don't you want to be prepared for that time? You're not going to avoid that. If you believe tonight that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, has turned from them, you cannot continue in them, and confess your faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you're willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, you can be raised to walk in newness of life. That will not shield you from sickness. That will in no way keep you from suffering the things that all humans suffer. That will in no way prevent you from dying, as all people die. But you can step from this life into the next, from pain into paradise, because of the grace of Christ, the love of God. If you're willing to do that, why don't you do it right now, as together we stand and as we sing.